Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Grow Diary podcast, where we will take you on a journey breaking down stigmas, myths, and misconceptions of all things hair loss. We'll have some discussions with people in the industry as well as clients, and we'll share their experiences and journeys of hair loss, leading you to the ultimate destination of hair regrowth. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Grow Diaries podcast. It's been a while, but we're back, and we'll hopefully be back now with a few more coming up in the next few weeks, but we're back with a bang today. I'm here with, as usual, Mark Kinvig. Like I said, it's been a while, but we're back in here, and we've got a special guest who Mark's going to introduce. Thanks for joining us.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Mr. Will Sparks, Australian DJ producer. Right, that's had a significant influence on electro house bounce.
Electro house, I like that one.
Electro house bounce. You rose to fame with the hit track. Oh yeah.
Oh no. Yeah, we should call that. Oh no.
Oh yeah.
That's so done.
You started on YouTube, or it got big on YouTube? Is that right?
SoundCloud. Yeah, that was the thing back in the day. Yeah.
And you have since released successful tracks with Joel Fletcher, Timmy Trumpet, Luciano,
yeah.
Among others.
Is this Wikipedia?
No.
No? This is my bio.
AI, bro.
Is it? Chat GPT. Yeah, okay.
High energy performance, infectious beats. I mean, you're a dedicated fan base worldwide.
Wow, infectious.
Are you infectious?
Hope not. No, but it's been a long journey. Like, I've been doing this for about 10, 12 years, and sound, and I've just evolved just to keep myself sane, because it's a hard business. There's a lot of pressure in it, but you love it. I love music, and it is my drug.
People think of the music industry as like you get to a certain point and then you kind of don't have to do as much, right?
I've seen many come and go. Yeah. Don't you worry. They get into drugs, or they think that they don't have to work anymore, and they just keep, you know, going off their songs that did well. Mm. I'm constantly on my own toes, because I'm just my biggest critic, and I just want to keep – it's like I'm chasing a dragon to find that next sound, that next banger, because when you make something that no one else has heard, it's the best feeling in the world, and it's almost like I'm always like searching for that. And in between, it's not depressing, but like you just got to search for it. And once you get there, it's like, that's what I was doing all that for.
Yeah. So you feel like you're constantly chasing yourself.
Pretty
to
much.
To get that feeling.
Yeah. And that's what keeps you in the game and keeps you relevant, I guess, because you're always making something new for the people.
And you look like you work so hard. It's constant gigs, high energy. Like you still put a lot of, obviously, time and energy into your work, but also your appearance as well. Fit guy.
Oh, thanks.
That's a big part of like who you are, it seems like, your presence on stage and your kind of ethos. Would that be fair?
Yeah, for sure. Because you got so many eyes on you. You want to look the part, and as all of us do, we try to better ourselves every day. And as I get older, I get more mature. And, you know, my look back in the day was a look. And that's what people knew me as. I had the long blonde hair and the hat. And I don't know, I started to get a bit more muscular. And that was my look.
Yeah.
And when I cut my hair recently in the last year, I had somebody DM me from the crowd saying, "Do you think we're that stupid? We know that was a clone of Will or a dummy. You could have just said that he couldn't play." They thought that it wasn't me.
Because you cut your hair.
Yeah. So people get so fixated on the image and who you are, you know, physically, that they don't even care about the music sometimes. They just want you to be a zoo animal so they can film you and be like, "Oh, I saw him."
Yeah.
It's just the day and age.
You kind of become a character.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And part of being a character is part of being successful. Like, you see some DJs and you're like, wow, they don't really make the best music, but they're really awesome, charismatic, you know?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Your video, like, I've watched videos of you DJing and everything, and like Mark said, you're so energetic and pumped up. Obviously, you know, that probably comes natural as you're in that zone. Do you have to do anything to kind of get yourself in that zone and kind of pump yourself up, or are you just kind of, once you're on stage, you're in it?
I was going to make a funny joke then, but I won't go there.
No, you can go there. It's the minoxidil tablet.
Yeah. Gives me an adrenaline boost. No, honestly, when you get up there and you play your own music to so many people, it's like another – like any drug that you do, it's better. It's better.
Adrenaline.
And you get so pumped up, and it doesn't matter if I've had 1 hour sleep that night. Actually, there was a time recently I played a set at Perukaville in Germany during the day, and I went all night from the night before. I went a little bit too hard in Mykonos, and I went straight to the airport from the gig. Anyway, I thought I had a day off, and I didn't. And the boys were like, mate, you got to get on stage in about 2 hours. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. I went into this anxiety, and it's all live streamed, cameras. Like, you can't stuff up, and there's 20,000 people in front of you. Anyway, the minute I got up there, it was like this alter ego. I just turn into this, I don't know, I just get this real big rush of, yeah, somebody else, and I just smashed it. So it doesn't matter if I'm exhausted. I always bring the energy, because imagine if I didn't bring the energy. Someone's sitting there that had wanted to see me for so long, and I just slack.
Yeah.
That's what I think about.
Do you think, I mean, obviously you mentioned your image and your character and people's perception of who you are when you're up there and what they want to see. Has your hair sort of influenced how you feel, or have you been, would you describe yourself as self-conscious about it in any way at all pre-surgery? Or
I wasn't self-conscious about it on stage. Yeah. When I had long hair, I'd just flick it back and forth and then I'd put my hat back on. I used to never go outside without a hat on, and I liked my long hair because it was my image. So I had this attachment, this anxious attachment to it, so I couldn't get rid of it. And I finally cut the cord and said, stuff this, made a fringe. And I was like, yeah, this is all right. But I still, when I would go outside and my hair would get dust in the wind, is that right? No, get like blown in the wind. Sorry, dust in the wind. That's a good song.
Coming in 2024. Yeah.
Remix.
The Dust in the Wind series.
Do you know that song? No. It's a great tune. Yeah. So, yeah, when it would get like blown in the wind, I'd always try to fix it and, you know, get all self-conscious about it. And so the minute I shaved my head at the surgery, there was this one part at the front of my head that I always wanted to just shave because it was so thin and it was like starting a crevice of balding. And I'm like, I just can't wait for the day that I shave that. And then Dr. Rook goes, oh, I need to do this bit too. I was like, oh, my God, I've been wanting to do that for 10 years and you just did it. So I just started, let's go, just did it all because I didn't want to shave my hair. Yeah. And he's looking at me like, yeah, well, we'll see about that.
Yeah.
The minute I shaved the toe ball, I've never been more confident already without the surgery.
Yeah.
So that was the first step. And then I got the surgery and I've got this mad hairline. I'm like, I've got no problems now.
What do you, do you think that if you would have shaved it a couple of years ago, you still would have gone down this road knowing that that gave you confidence straight away?
100%, because I still see where my hairline would have been and it ain't good. I'm looking like a true, I don't know who I can reference, but yeah, it had the McDonald's sign there.
Yeah.
We don't want that.
It's funny, like looking at your, your video, the social post that you put out, you get a lot of love for people with shaved head. They're saying, oh, you look so good with a shaved head. You look awesome, right? That is something that is like really common and people kind of battle with, just saying you look good with a shaved head, right? What do you think it is that makes us as men kind of go, nah, I want my hair, when everyone else is saying, nah, you look good, don't worry about it?
Well, to be honest, I don't think I'll ever go back to long hair. I don't know. Maybe.
Really? That was the next question.
I think I'm going to stick to this shave. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
Like that much. So, but you know, I'll go through times in my life where I'll grow it a bit longer and play with hairstyles. It's something I've never been able to do. And who doesn't love a look change? You know, it keeps things interesting for yourself in the mirror.
Yeah.
Because we are our biggest critic. But
I think maybe like the Prodigy double mohawk will come in next year.
Color it. Who knows? I can always change. But you know, it's funny. Every time I change my look, I have to get new press shots for flyers.
Yeah.
So I just got new ones done yesterday, and it's me with a shaved head. It's the new look, and they're going to be plastered all over billboards next year.
Yeah.
But for now, coming up to the end of the year, I've still got my Oh, I was about to say something else that I can't say. My shorter haircut.
Yeah.
I got called a few things with that one. So, but yeah, when people say, oh, you look good with a shaved head, it's all, you know, you should leave it. I sort of agree with them, but I know what you're saying. People could just feel, yeah, insecure.
Yeah, because this was like half on your agenda for a couple of years, right? We kind of had a dabbled a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
I sent you a couple of texts that you ignored.
Yeah, I know. Mark was like, come on, mate, who cares? And the fact he was like, it's fine, it's easy. The minute you started sending me your progression things, after 10 days, I was like, oh, nah, this is sweet. Because I thought coming up to summer, I want to look good. It was always like, oh, no, I'll do it next year. I'll do it then because then I'll have downtime because I don't want to do it during this time. I want to be like this. And then you were just like, you're going to be good by summer. I'm like, throw away the key, let's get this going. And then we got that date. I feel like, universe is just works in its ways.
Because it's what, not even been a month, right? Has it been a month?
It's 1 month on Monday, but I cannot wait to get in the gym.
Yeah. You should be pretty good by now.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Do you reckon I could go in and have a good session?
Yeah, I reckon.
Oh, I'm killing too, man.
That's his afternoon,
so. Yeah, a good session. But, so it's been, what, 3 and a bit weeks, right? So it's fair to say that it doesn't look like it's impacting your day-to-day life now at all, right? 3 weeks later.
Not at all. I want to sit in the sun, but I could just wear a hat, sweet.
Yeah.
But it has affected my well-being, as in my health and fitness.
Yeah, yeah.
But mentally I've been great. I've been able to do other things too, like mindfulness programs where, you know, because I'm usually so active and that keeps my endorphins going.
Yeah.
I have been to the gym a few times but done very, very light work and it's been very annoying because I can't work. I can't even get a pump.
Yeah.
Because to the people at home that don't know, you can't exercise for a month post-surgery.
Yeah.
But I didn't break the rules. It's just I just didn't get a sweat.
You just got up to the line.
I got up to the line where I was lifting about 10 kilos bicep curls and I got to about 10. I'm like, okay, I have to stop now because if I keep going, I'll sweat and we can't sweat.
Yeah. So it's not real. I mean, we'll touch on that. It's not really about sweating so much. Obviously, sweat plays a part in like infection risks and stuff like that. But also the blood underneath the skin, it takes a little bit of time for the graft and the blood supply to really connect with each other, right? So if you think about the pressure that weightlifting especially puts on the strain, right, that can disrupt that blood flow, which can then cause that graft to fail.
Oh, no. So am I going to be all right?
10 kilos, you should be fine.
Yeah.
But that is essentially, you know, why that whole sort of weightlifting thing is a bit of a no-no. It's that sort of strain and pressure that it puts on the scalp.
What if you're not even, like, grunting or it's just, like, straight face?
Anything that makes your face go red. So that's kind of like a sign of like that sort of.
Yeah, I didn't get any of that. Okay, we're going to be fine.
You're going to be fine. Yeah,
Mark knows.
You probably get more like jumping around doing your DJ work.
Yeah. Well, I've actually done a few gigs.
Have you?
And I've had to stand there and do nothing. And I had two fans just blasting in my face.
Yeah.
Trying to keep yourself still from stopping yourself.
Literally. And I'm getting so pumped up from the music and I'm like, Relax.
But you're at a point now where you can pretty much do whatever you want, live your life, and then just wait for your hair to grow. I think that this next stage for most people is the hardest. Like, it's that not hair watching because, you know, if you shed a little bit, it's going to take 8 to 12 weeks to come back. And I feel like once you get into that, like, I'm watching, is something happening, is the hair coming, every day feels like 2 days.
Right. Is there a way – back to the weightlifting thing, is there a way to know that all my, what's it called, follicles got a blood supply?
What have you been doing?
Not much.
I feel like he's making himself guilty here.
No. I haven't been going hard. No, not at all.
Yeah.
But I've been on the line.
Yeah.
Like, just what's it called? Just teasing it.
Yeah, tiptoeing.
Yeah. So is there a way?
Nah. You just have to wait.
You have to know later. Bugger.
I'm sure it's going to be absolutely fine.
I'm sure you're not the only one.
Definitely.
No, I know that anyone who is super active, it generally is the hardest part to deal with. The surgery in comparison to a month off the gym was probably pretty easy, right?
Oh, the surgery's nothing. It's the, not being able to train. If you don't train, you're fine.
Yeah. How did you find the whole process? Surgery, team, what was that like for you?
It's the craziest thing. Everyone that asks me about it is, how painful was it? And I'm like, no pain. No pain whatsoever. It was just, I just felt this pressure with the drill going into the back of my head. That sounds bad. It's a very small drill, and it was just taking out one by one each hair follicle, and then they clean it. They've got a great team, and you're just sitting there the whole time just bantering, and it's the best. And the team was so it was fun. It was actually fun. I enjoyed it. The day felt like it went for 2 hours, and it went for what, eight?
Probably six to eight hours.
I just can't get over Dr. Rook, how he's just got the patience to sit there and staple your head and drill your head.
5 days a week. He's
in there.
Yeah, he's wild.
I know, man. It's like he's got some other conscious.
I got a deep appreciation and love for him. You know, he did my hair, and seeing what he does every day is pretty wild, you know.
It's incredible.
But I think that's the we always go back to the thing about having a doctor doing the procedure. I think that with all the doctors that do them, like, there's a patience and an artistry that comes with the job as well. Not just a, you know, it's not just a simple case of picking up the tools and being able to do it. It is their, you know, they have this mindset of what they produce is almost like art.
It is, because where do you stick the hairs? He just was going at random, and he's painting my hair how it's going to be forever. And you kind of want to get it right the first time, right? So yeah, what I saw afterwards, like all the dots, I was like, wow, how did he do that?
And that is very strategic, you know. Like, he is very purposeful in where he puts each hair graft with different amounts of hair in it to make sure that the end outcome is something that is going to be unrecognizable.
And how do you practice for that?
On people. Yeah. You know, really, I think that he has a deep, like, he is someone who goes so deep into, like, what he wants to do and how he wants to do it.
I called him the psychopath.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah.
But there must be a bit of it, right?
I reckon.
There must be, like, something in there to make you want to do that.
He's got a different stare. It's like,
yeah. Do you reckon you could DJ for 8 hours a day, 5 days a week?
Definitely not. No. There are DJs that do that, but their songs are like 15 minutes each. Anyway, no, I just couldn't. I mean, I do 2 hours, sometimes three.
Yeah.
If I'm having a lot of fun, and then I'll be on my ass, because that's usually a drinking session.
Especially with the energy that you expel as well. 8 hours would be a
tiring,
like a marathon.
Yeah, I could stand there and do nothing and play for 8 hours, but damn, I'd get bored, you know.
I wonder what the world record is for, like, non-stop DJing.
Oh, it'd be weeks. Oh, but without sleeping.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, there's things you can take. I'm sure they
minoxidil.
Minoxidil. Tropical. Topical.
Tropical.
We're calling it tropical now.
There you go. The world record holder for the longest DJ set by an individual is currently Nigerian DJ Sol Yin, who played for a staggering 243 hours and 30 minutes.
What a tool. Nah, that's impressive.
He didn't
impressive.
Sleep, or he just, like, that is...
Mate, Nigerians, aren't they the marathon runners?
Yeah, I mean, they
can just do marathon anything.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Imagine them in bed.
I was going to suggest you try and break the world record. I reckon that'd tip you over the edge, right?
No, not in a million years. I don't need to do that.
Yeah.
Bit like skydiving and bungee jumping. Don't need to do it.
Really?
Nah.
I had you down as like a sort of adrenaline seeker. You talked a lot about how you like to chase that kind of adrenaline. I thought that'd be straight up your
street. Oh, look, I don't know. The death thing and the height thing, it's not my thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll do anything else, but I don't think I need to do that. But maybe in a couple of years I'll go, you know what, it's time to face that fear and do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is on the cards for Will Sparks? What does the future look like for you, do you think?
Look, I do want to settle down one day and actually be able to have my 2 feet on the ground for long periods of time.
Yeah.
You know, everyone wants to have a family, and that's something I really want to do. But I'll always make music. I think I might be a teacher one day. that's looking really far in the future, because I've never been really good at the whole touring flat out thing.
Yeah.
I get into some pretty dark stages if I'm away for a long period. I've missed out on everything, like all my mates' events, weddings. Mm. Since I was 19 years old, I've been on the road. So, but I've found a good medium with mental state, physical state, how to keep myself in the circuit,
yeah,
of playing shows, and my management are really good at coming to a good, yeah, balance. It's all about balance, like everything.
Yeah. Do you feel like you're more appreciated inside or outside of Australia? What does that look like from a dynamic perspective?
Interesting question. Australia's funny. It's where I'm from, and I've obviously got some really dedicated fans here, and that's where it all started. It's just a different dynamic. Overseas, like Italy, and then there's Germany and Sweden. There are all these different walks of life that have a different appreciation. I can't really decipher who's the best.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But we're all different in our own way. I think, yeah, Europeans really get into the music more.
Yeah.
Aussies are a little bit more cool on the dance floor. They're a bit like,
yeah,
sweet as.
Yeah.
But then you go to the Netherlands and they're super cool on the dance floor because they're the main dance music hub.
Yeah.
It's ADE at the moment, actually.
Yeah.
I never go to ADE. It's the Amsterdam dance event where, yeah, all the DJs around the world and promoters of everybody goes there to meet up and do conferences and shows and nights. Never go because I'm just like, I want to be home. Yeah. It's my opportunity to just be home. But anyway, I probably should be going. Maybe show my face.
Maybe next year. Nah.
Nah, Siebs.
So we talked about like Will Sparks, the character. Does your fans have like a look, do you think? Like, is there, like, everywhere you go in the world, do the people who listen to your music
look
dress and kind of look the same?
Yeah, bogans. Nah.
Do they have bogans in Germany?
I don't know what you'd call them. But yeah, nah, a lot of dudes like me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, I don't know why. I think it's like the gym thing and the testosterone, like,
yeah, yeah,
you know, the grunt thing.
Yeah.
So I get a lot of dudes at my shows.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of like that, especially in Oz. But I don't know. I do have, like, my fans are very, what do I say? Like, they're very just dedicated to me and passionate about me. And they get me because my sound and my music is so unique and niche to anything else. Like, I get recognized on the world stage, but not super recognized. You know what I mean? Mm. And if you go through my YouTube clips of my songs, music videos and stuff, the comments people leave are like so descriptive, and they've got so much passion for what I'm doing. So they understand where I'm going with this. And if you don't understand my stuff, you won't feel what we feel. It's just how it is.
Yeah.
It's always been like that.
Do you have fans that follow you around like to different gigs?
Yep.
I don't mean like follow you around the Gold Coast. That's a bit weird, but like following you around different gigs and so that you recognise them whenever you're doing a gig, that you've got a group of fans that follow you everywhere.
Yeah, I need to shout out one of these guys, Simon Shu. He is from Italy. And ever since, I think, when I first started touring there in 2013 or 14, he has been to every single gig. Wow. In Italy, all around Italy, like everyone.
We'll really figure out if we can try and get away of.
And he always finds his way backstage thing somehow. And he's always got like my merch or my team shirt for that year. He's made it himself.
Yeah,
and he gets backstage. I'm like, Simon, you're here again. How'd you do it? But nonstop. So his Instagram is Will Sparks Italy.
Yeah,
so right. That's his thing.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
He's been to every single show, sometimes shows that are even not in the country. Like, he's always in Croatia or Mykonos, and then, yeah, he's everywhere, that guy. But there's been a few of those, but they come for a couple of years, 3 years, and then they're gone.
Yeah.
They've probably had a family and they don't party anymore, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
In Sydney, I used to have heaps, yeah.
Do you get, like, fan mail?
No. I'm actually friends with some fans now, like genuine friends.
Yeah.
Blake Lavelle, he's from Sydney. He used to go to every single show, front and center, sweating his ass off, going mental.
Yeah.
He always wear a white shirt and just be drenched. I think that was another bloke called Jimmy Woktost, he calls himself. Because yeah. that was my fake name on Facebook, Woktost, yeah. Willy Woktost. Don't know why. And then he changed his name on everything to Jimmy Woktost.
That's dedication.
Yeah. I'm Willy Wonka now.
Oh,
yeah? Yeah.
Now everyone knows. You're gonna have to change it again.
No, I don't care. I don't go on Facey. Don't have any chocolates, that's for sure.
I mean, while we're talking about gigs and music, do you think that we talked about ChatGPT before? Do you think AI is going to affect what you do? What do you kind of take on the music industry and AI?
Yeah, I can't doubt AI because we'll say, oh, no, it's not going to, and then bang,
yeah,
it will. So who knows? I'll always... It's going to be a hard one. Like if AI will eventually make music, electronic music that is fucking sick. Mm. Oh, fuck it. Like sick. I'm still going to make my shit.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, there's going to be another bloke that makes good music. Awesome. Yeah. Because I've got such a distinct sound and people can actually really try and copy it, it might be a bit annoying for me because I'm like, wow, he's really... this AI bloke is really ripping me apart and yeah. taking all my sounds and just being the front of it. And that's happened to me a few times with real life people. They'll fully rip what I'm doing, and that's fine. Inspiration. They get on their own path and make their own songs, but then they claim the sound or they claim the genre that they're doing, and then they get all the credit because they'll boast about it or... they'll have a hit song from, like, there's been so many Melbourne Bounce hit songs that became massive, but I didn't make them. Yeah. But we created that sound, you know, but I can't be salty like that. It's just like, oh, I'm not on that poll. I'm not the top 10 in this and whatever. Let
it
be.
Is that important to you?
Nah, it isn't. But obviously I've got a small insecurity about it because I'm like, I'd love to have that credit for what I do because I feel like I'm worthy of it.
Yeah.
But I can just keep striving and stay in my own lane. I've always stayed in my own lane. I don't really talk to many other guys or I don't really have many friends in the industry. It's just me and my team. We put on a banger show visually and sonically, and then that's it. You want to come to a mad show and have a good time, then come see me.
Yeah. And you can't imagine AI putting on a mad show and people wanting to just stand there. But then, you know, you look at, you know, pop bands like the Gorillaz and you think, well, fuck, that's just a whole lot of holograms.
Well, that's the same as, what are they called? They're the best producers in the world at the moment for me. It's always at Brooklyn Mirage, huge visuals. What are they called? Anima.
Oh, yeah.
And look, everyone knows them for their huge visuals and everyone's standing there just filming, unfortunately, but the music is so sick. I really get inspired by them. I wish I could design sounds like them, which I'm kind of trying to go for, but I wouldn't know what they look like. Yeah. It's like the big AI thing because their visuals are so incredible and fuck, they would have cost heaps.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
But I think people will always have that connection with another person.
Oh, yeah.
And they'll always,
human connection sad. Will never
there
die.
There might be that AI every now and again that, you know, that, but that, having that connection and the fan, like the fans with yourself is, I don't think is
going to emotion. Yeah, it's emotional.
Emotional connection with you.
Yeah. No, it'll never die. Yeah. It's like with music, I say that emotion, because people are like, what's next? What's next? I'm like, you know what? Music's infinite and emotion will never die.
Mm. Yeah. Is there anywhere you just don't like playing?
Don't like playing? Like, anywhere I don't like playing?
Anywhere that's like just not gone how you thought it'd go?
Oh, there's a few gigs that happen and there's no one there or it's in the middle of nowhere. You know, we're just kind of doing it to fill in spaces and it's a very expensive business. Like I've got so many expenses and... You know, everyone thinks that we're just rolling in it, you know, making tens of millions of dollars, but it's really not the case, not at my level anyway. There are some, don't worry.
Yeah,
some people get paid like upwards of 300 or 400K a set, and I couldn't even imagine how easy that would be, you know, flying around in jets and whatnot. But, I've got to fill some spaces so I can continue. But those, I don't know, I can't really say where exactly has been a nightmare.
Yeah, America, good.
Yeah,
go to America,
love it.
Yeah,
I'm going there in November for the whole month, and I've actually got some really good fans there at the moment. I toured there years ago, and then I stopped for about 4 or 5 years. I just was like, hey, I'm not getting anywhere. And cost-wise, speaking of expenses, it just was killing me. I wasn't getting the fees high enough to be able to sustain a good show over there and live comfortably even. Like when I first started, I was in like hostels and really shitty hotels in the UK, actually. Yeah. Fuck, there are some ripping hotels there.
It's like 90% of the UK.
Yeah. but yeah, America's good. I recently did a few shows there in Texas and I sold out both shows, which I'm happy to say because I'm like, I didn't expect that. Like 2,000 people at each show. I was like, wow, there's really people buying tickets to see me. It's always like a surreal feeling.
Yeah, I imagine it would be. Mm. But Gold Coast, home forever. Do you think this is where you're going to settle? Is this you?
Well, I'm from Melbourne.
Yeah.
It's
too cold down there.
It is. I get it.
Miserable.
But my sister's just about to, she's pregnant.
Yeah.
And my mum's a bit older. So I'm like, I've got to be there more. And my dad's also getting old. So I'm like, sometimes I don't really have I don't have anyone here to even hang out with. And it's just me. And I'm like, yeah, I've got everything done. I'm doing my music. Sometimes I sit there and I'm like, all right, what now? You know, I don't have to make music every day. I can just go off and enjoy my day. But yeah, I think I might have to move back at one point just to be with family.
Yeah. That you got to pull there.
What?
You got to pull Melbourne, like you feel that sort of magnetic force.
Yeah, I've visited a few times recently and I was like, wow, this is – I always had something to do. I was meeting up with a friend for breakfast, lunch and dinner and then going to mum's and my sister's in between and my team's there, you know, Lucky Entertainment. And I didn't get much done though. I just did a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
It'd probably get to a point where I start actually being productive. But yeah.
Yeah,
we'll see. What about you guys? You from Goldie?
4 years on the Goldie.
Never leaving?
UK originally, so yeah.
Where in the UK?
Manchester.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, are you a Manchester fan?
United fan.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah, whatever. I'm not into it. One of my guys is a massive Liverpool fan. He does all my lights.
Fire him. Fire him, mate.
Dude. No, he's tatted up.
Yeah, like, fuck that guy.
See, the football culture in the UK is so cutthroat. Like, I'm a mad AFL fan and, you go for, you know, Essendon, screw you, whatever. You blokes are like,
it's tribal.
I'll cut your throat.
Yeah, well, it's a religion there, yeah. Right? So, yeah. I saw a guy, I remember growing up and seeing a guy who had his shirt off and it said United Kids Wife in that order.
Yeah.
Tattoo on his back.
Oh, wouldn't be surprised if Cam, who's listening probably, would do that for Liverpool.
Yeah, I don't know about that. But I was on the Goldie 10 years. We just moved up to Brizzy recently. And
you're Brizzy now?
Oh, I love it, eh?
Oh, it's awesome. You seem like a Brizzy fella.
Do I?
I don't know what it is.
I mean, we got four kids, so.
Four?
Yeah, four girls. So just not having to drive everywhere. I think that's the worst thing about the Gold Coast, right, is that you have to drive almost everywhere unless you live within a block of the beach. You know?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I live near the beach.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'll ever sell that house, but it's the perfect holiday house. It's like a 30-second walk to Talbudger Creek. I'm like in heaven.
Good spot.
I manifested that. I used to drive past Tally Creek, obviously from the airport to get to we stay at Broadbeach to go play at Platinum. I played at Platinum years ago for so many times. And every time we drive past Tally, I'd go, I will live there one day. I'd believed it. Yeah. And it's funny, like anything you really believe and feel the feeling of doing it, it becomes a reality.
Yeah.
And it did and it just happened. Yeah. Crazy. Yeah.
I believe that.
Yeah.
It's happened to me plenty of times.
It's so real. And that's why you got to be so careful about what you think about because sometimes we get addicted to thinking about bad shit.
Yeah.
And then shit keeps happening that's bad. It's like, fuck, you just keep putting yourself in a hole.
Yeah.
You seem like that kind of person that's got a very positive, a very positive mindset on life and your attitude and everything. Is that something that you work on purposefully?
Daily.
Yeah.
I have to because I've been in states where I'm not very happy and then my life becomes really, really shit. So I'm really careful and conscious about what I do and what I think about because I just don't want to be back there because I was in a bad spot for a while. And now I'm in such a good spot because my hair looks fucking epic. I can't wait for 3 months.
Yeah.
Well, should I be excited for 2 months?
Like, nah, probably three. Probably three.
Oh,
three
is it going to shed more right now? Let's say it's not.
Yeah,
let's say then it's maybe not. That won't. Then it won't.
Yeah, let's manifest.
I need to manifest that there's no blood getting blocked to the follicles as well. Yeah. I can feel my hair right now, like
tingling
just from talking about it.
Yeah, yeah, that's wild. I think that was the one thing after my hair transplant is, but you become aware of your scalp.
Right? So aware.
Never been aware of my scalp in my life.
And how long does it stay numb for?
Probably feels, mine felt like concrete for maybe like 4 weeks, 4 or 5 weeks. Like
yeah, man, I could headbutt a fucking brick wall right now. I wouldn't feel it.
You'd definitely feel it. And you'd knock those new hairs out.
I don't want that.
But, you know, part of, you know, obviously why I do the job and why Andy does the job is that we're big advocates for men's mental health as well. It sounds like it's something that's important to you. And just, you know, being able to do this and help people and, you know, them become different people.
Like, must be so rewarding.
So rewarding.
Like me messaging you all the time being like, man, this is the best thing I've ever done. It must be so exciting.
Yeah.
And I've been saying it to all these people that have messaged me since the journey. It was such a good response. I couldn't believe how much support I had. Instead of people think that they're going to judge you. I know guys that have had transplants and they have hidden it from their own family because they're so ashamed. It's like, why be ashamed?
Yeah,
we've all like one in how many people have hair loss?
Yeah. Oh, hair loss is becoming more common.
Like one in two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's funny because hair loss is increasing, but testosterone levels in men are going down as well. So
since when?
Since 1999, they've dropped 25%, 33% since the late 80s.
What do you blame?
Probably diet.
Yeah. And now produce of food, how it's getting more and more.
Chemical.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that dance music is a big.
That lifts your test, right?
Yeah.
How do you think? I'm so jacked.
But I also think that, you know, if you look since the 80s, like, men jobs, I would say, like most men are now doing different kinds of work where it's not as physical as it used to be. So we're becoming people that naturally like sit around a bit more in life, right? So I think once you're not kind of pumping, doing those physical jobs, that maybe has a direct sort of correlation to it. But you know, like testosterone is essentially the reason genetically why you have hair loss, right? So DHT, which strangles the hair follicles, is the conversion of testosterone into dihydrotestosterone. So you would think really that once your testosterone drops, that hair loss should in theory drop off a little bit.
Wow, this makes me want to do steroids.
But if you do steroids, you're increasing testosterone, which increases DHT, which is going to speed up hair loss.
Right.
Yeah, that's why generally people who are bodybuilders and stuff where they have higher levels of testosterone than what is natural will speed up hair loss. So they're going to get to the same end result. They're just going to get there a whole lot faster.
Amazing. After their procedure?
Before. Well, like, if they have genetic hair loss and then they do testosterone, they have more DHT because of that extra testosterone, which is going to kill the hair faster.
Okay, so you're saying that if you take tests,
yeah,
you're going to lose your hair
faster. Yeah.
What if you take tests after a procedure?
Then you will lose the native hair, so not the transplanted hair, because the transplanted hair is genetically different, so not susceptible to DHT.
Oh, cool.
Which is why all bald men have that hair around the back and sides, but nothing on the top. But for someone like yourself, where you still have half a head of hair, if you're genetically going to go bald there, then if you do tests, naturally then you're going to increase the speed of that.
Interesting.
Which is why we encourage people to do sort of preventative finasteride, minoxidil, to stop that or to slow the hair loss in the native areas.
Is that what minoxidil is for?
Minoxidil doesn't deal with the root cause of the testosterone conversion into DHT. Finasteride does. But what minoxidil does do is oxygenates the blood and forces more hair blood into the hair follicle.
Epic. And it doesn't work until 6 months. Doing it every night.
Nah, so what happens is, right, when you have, we'll use a hair transplant as the example, right? We give you a hair transplant and you go into a shedding phase, right? That shedding phase is 8 to 12 weeks on average, okay? that hair comes back, it's a full strength quality hair that we've put in there, then it's going to grow like normal. With like finasteride, minoxidil, when you start those medications, generally that hair is weaker, okay? So it's really poor quality hair. So it's going to take 2, 3, 4 of those shedding cycles and regrowth to notice a difference.
Interesting.
So you're kind of looking at 9 to 12 months. Most people do it for 6 months, stop, and they're like, oh, it didn't work for me. And it's kind of like going to the gym for a week and wondering why you don't look like Will Sparks.
True. Interesting.
Yeah.
And the other finasteride.
Yep.
As a topper.
Yep.
What's...
Finasteride's like the biggest weapon, I think, against
hair. I know. Every time you'd say, are you taking your pills yet? I'm like, nah, I don't want to. I don't want to put things in my body that make things different.
We don't. I mean, I'm sure you've definitely put worse things in your
head. This is true. In your industry. Definitely.
But, you know, the reality is that finasteride slows the conversion of testosterone into DHT, so it keeps your testosterone as testosterone. So in theory, you become more testosterone in your body than you would if you didn't take it.
Whoa. So it stuffs with your hormones.
Keeps your test as test. Yeah.
Wow. I didn't know you were a scientist.
Yeah, I'm not a doctor. Please seek medical advice.
Yeah, no shit.
Yeah. But that is essentially what is going on. So okay. That's why really finasteride is kind of that main...
What's the difference between the topper and the pill?
The pill is a really easy way for men to take something, essentially, right? Men are really, really bad at rubbing something on their head every single day and doing it properly. So what I've experienced is men become obsessed with, like, areas. So if they're doing topical, they'll put it on like the area that concerns them the most and then just neglect.
Why wouldn't you do it on all of it?
Because they become obsessed, right?
So I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to take the topical.
Yeah.
Because I'm not that I'm not comfortable taking the pill. I just would rather try the topical first.
Yeah.
But will it do the same thing?
It'll do the same thing. So topical, because it's localized, doesn't really have any of the same side effects because it's not systematic. But what you will find, like people who have sensitive scalp, right, because inside the topical is other ingredients to help it penetrate through the skin, it can affect like...
Is that the only side effects that you could get?
No, I mean, there's obviously still the chance of... I'm not a doctor. There's still a chance of side effects, right, because you're still taking...
It's going in your system.
But it's not like it's going into your system at such a minute level that you would have to be really unlucky.
You'd have to be like, yeah, swimming in a bath of it every day.
Yeah.
To get it on in your skin. Random.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good
so,
to know.
So, I mean, definitely topical is better than nothing, as long as you're someone who is able to like kind of do that.
I'm a very consistent person.
Yeah. Most men aren't.
Mate, I do my skin routine every night. I've got 3 different ways. Because I've got a bit of like a skin problem too with acne I've had for a long time. So I have to do all that constantly. And that's the next thing I'm working on. And that's another thing. I don't want to take Roaccutane to fix it because that stuffs with your hormones too, apparently, and actually does hair loss too, right?
Yeah. So Roaccutane, like if you're on Roaccutane, you can't have a hair transplant for 6 months until you've stopped, 6 months after you've stopped.
Oh, my God.
Because Roaccutane actually can make healing bad.
What about Doxy? Do you know much about...
I'm not a doctor.
Yeah, the antibiotic.
Yeah. So we give Doxy post treatment for 7 days generally. So,
but what about the acne Doxy? We're not a skin person.
Out of my pay grade.
Yeah, but that won't affect today because I've actually had to take a bit.
Nah,
of that.
It shouldn't do. No.
Cool. All right. Well. Nah. Wow. What an educational podcast this has become.
Yeah.
Education.
Yeah, that's the name of the game. But, you know, there's so much misinformation, especially in the hair loss world. It's kind of like the Wild West out there.
Dude, it is. I don't Google anything because I've had so many different things thrown at me when I have to Google something and I'm like, all right, I'm just going to ask Mark. Yeah. Like even the book says don't do topical after 2 weeks and you're like, wait, 3 weeks. And I'm like...
I think it's one of those where you're better to... Like the scalp's still so sensitive at 2 weeks, you know. I think I see enough kind of repeat people to know that, you know, not that I'm better than the book, but, you know, things change, right? The more people you see, the more sort of market your understanding and the different people with different types of skin.
Everyone's different. Everyone gets
genetic
affected.
Backgrounds, right? So there's so many variants in anything that you do. Really, it's about best outcome and making sure that people are, you know, going to get the result that they want. And that's what, you know, that's what's important to me more than anything is
definitely
people end up with a sick head of hair.
That's what you want. That's what I want. Yeah. And smoking, is that bad?
Smoking's bad for the hair in general.
For everyone?
Oh, yeah.
For how long? Yeah.
You know, I smoked for 20 years.
And then quit after your hair transplant?
Nah, I quit. Actually, when I started Grow, I mean, I have a hospitality background, so it's kind of rife with in that industry, right? You just do it just to be able to get away from people.
Yeah.
I'm going for a durry.
Yeah.
Whereas in the medical industry, if you smell like cigarettes, it's not great.
Well, right? Everyone vapes so now, so you don't smell.
Everyone vapes. So I started. So that was my transition away from cigarettes. I actually found vaping harder to
quit.
Because you just find yourself vaping anywhere, right? Because it doesn't smell.
Yeah.
If I'm in bed, I'd just have a vape. I would never smoke in bed.
Yeah.
And so, like, coming off vape was like what I imagine like a heroin addict feels like.
Oh,
not getting a hit.
How bad?
Yeah.
Well, how'd you do it?
I got a no nicotine vape and some chewing gum and some patches and kind of went that way for a week. And then smoking the non nicotine vape was like shit.
Doing nothing.
Oh, yeah.
It sucks.
Shit. Yeah, it was shit. And so it got so shit, I was like, I'm fine now. And
do you reckon vaping would affect a transplant recovery?
I don't think so.
I've had a couple vapes.
Yeah, you know.
And the placebo just goes straight up there. I'm like, oh, fuck, oh, fuck.
I feel like you're the kind of person that I could, like, talk you into not doing stuff.
No,
vaping's going to kill you, bro.
And I'll be like, all right, done. I'm not doing it. I'll listen to you.
You're that one guy that vaping is going to kill. So you just don't do it. You know what I mean?
You could give me a pill and you could say, this is going to make you feel amazing in the gym today, and I will just be jacked from this pill that's got nothing in it
except sugar and water.
Yeah.
But, you know, on meds and you know, you're not wanting to take a pill, we are looking very seriously at starting mesotherapy in the next couple of weeks, which for anyone who doesn't know, it's dutasteride, which is like the big brother of finasteride, but then that's injected directly into the scalp once every 3 months.
Can you do it yourself?
You can't do yourself, but we take your blood, mix it with the plasma, so like a PRP, and then we'll mix that with the dutasteride.
Is that biotin. No side effects?
No side effects at all.
Can really, we do that?
But you have to be doing it every 3 months, so as long as your schedule permits it.
Let's do it.
Then we'll, you can be...
When's the first shot?
2 weeks.
From now?
Yeah.
And is this tested? Like,
seriously, it's big all over the world,
okay.
and well worthwhile. So I think that's going to appeal to a lot of people who, you know, especially after the last couple of years, just don't want to take oral medication
every day.
You know,
let's do that. And is that every 3 months for the rest of your life?
The rest of your life's a really long time, and I say that with anyone, but for the foreseeable future, right? No one knows where the industry is going to go, what it might look like in the future. We might be cloning hair, and you know, there'll be some sort of stem cell development, I imagine, in the industry in the
next
15 years. But for now, it's every day indefinitely.
Amazing. Well, could you get that order going for me, Mark?
Yeah, we will, mate. We will.
Thanks, bro.
I think we'll wrap it up there. It's been a pleasure having you, Will. We don't want to take up too much of your time. Is there anything you want to leave any of our listeners with in regards to getting a hair transplant?
Final thoughts.
If you're dealing with any sort of hair loss and you can afford to do this, do it. And the guys here, you don't have to leave the country. It was the best experience, and I've honestly never been so happy and confident in myself since in my whole life. So that is me being straight and honest. Just do it. And once you get it over and done with, you don't have to annoy Mark for 2 years saying, oh, I might do it next week. Just do it now. And once it's done, I'm already 3 or 4 weeks in and I'm like, bang, I'm already done.
Beautiful.
And listen to my album too. It just came out. So sweet.
Sick. All right. Yeah.
What's the album called?
Oh, Accepted Concept.
There you go.
Available on all good platforms.
Any platform you use, it'll be there. So go accept it.
Yeah.
There we go.
All right.
Cool. Awesome. All thanks, boys.
Thanks, cheers. Mr. Will Spark.
Cheers.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Grow Diaries podcast, brought to you by Grow Prescription Hair Care. If you would like any more information on hair loss or anything discussed in this podcast, please visit growclinics.com.au for all your hair regrowth needs.